We're back on the air. Just a couple of things I'll bring to your attention. Greg asked me to give you a little bit more comment about how everybody's doing. First of all, we did reach out to Gary Howe to see if he would speak for us in September. Brother Gary said that he's going to be gone, so he won't be able to speak to us. So we'll look at other people and kind of report that back to the church a little bit later. Good news is Sister Debbie Bills is there has been some improvement with her hemoglobin, and for that reason, I don't think they did the bone scan, did they? And so we need to be praying for her. Also, if you will, we're going to keep Greg in prayer this week as he will be traveling to regions better known for him in the land of Ecuador, and pray the Lord will bless. Other news we want to remind everybody of, Sister Mindy Coffey, they have moved her to another location. Right now, the good news is her hemoglobin is up, and which shows to me that the great strength of prayer. And that the Lord will bless there as well. And then Troy McGahan, I have not heard any more news, but his health is a challenge to him right now. And so do pray for all of those that are on our prayer sheet, and in particular, remember each one of those. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to... He's one out. All right. Yeah, I know he's been in hospice care, so I'll have to look at that one as myself. So thanks, Dennis, for letting us know that, brother. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 12. What is interesting, I love the Old Testament. I got to be careful because I can spend too much time in the Old Testament and not enough time around the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which can happen as well. You know, it's funny, every day that I go to work, I find many people that will reach out to me. In fact, one of the girls that I went to school with, her name was Cindy Rutherford later on. I don't remember her present name. But Cindy Kitchen was her name when we went to school. And she was telling me she was going down to Florida to be with her sister, who has just had surgery and needs our prayers as well, so do keep sending prayer. And again, another name that came up, Glennie Coons. I don't know how many of you know Glennie. I graduated with Glenn Coons as well, and his cancer is really into the final stages. We need to be in prayer for Glenn as well. So a lot of troubles that we find as well. Taking our attention, I want us to learn from the message that we're about to have here in the first 15 verses of Rehoboam's life. Now, I know that there's been a lot of sermons that have been preached on this, and we also know that this is in line with God's plan. But I want us to take a look at it from a perspective that each and every one of us need to be able to ask God what the lessons we need to learn so that we can have lessons learned and not too late. So let's begin in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me get back over where I want. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or let me get over. 1 Kings chapter 12. There we go. I'll get it right here in a moment. 1 Kings chapter 12. I got everybody going all over the place. And we're going to read the first 15 verses together. Good morning, everybody. You know, I'll get better before the day's out, okay? 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent him and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and the heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, that we may serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, and then come again to me. And the people departed. Now so far so good, right? The king Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will thy servants be forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye, that we may answer this people who spake to me, saying, Make this yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it lighter unto us. Thou shalt say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay before you a heavy yoke, my father hath chastised you with whips, but shall chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come unto me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave unto him. And they spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king's heart hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform this saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to bless us as we study together. Father, I want to come to you now asking that you will give that which is needed for the congregation. We're so thankful, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to study and to serve you. And it is our prayer that you will continue to bless and provide. We know, Lord, that when we study the Word of God, it is for the good of the congregation. But, Lord, I also pray for the good of the lost. There are many that are amongst us that do not know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Maybe someone will perchance go to our website, or they'll go to Facebook, or tune in to our recorded message, and they will hear for themselves the cause of Christ. I pray, Father, that you would open their eyes, cause them to want to know more about the things of God, and reach back to us. Lord, as many have reached out to us and have asked many questions, I pray that you will guide us and that you will help us to focus upon the things that you give us. May we rejoice in thy precious name. Help us then, dear Father, to ever contact and to be ready with a good answer for those people that are around about us. Help us, dear Father, to pray for the sick. Help us, dear Father, to be ever present and ever mindful of the lost. Help us, dear Father, to do those things which you would guide and lead us to do. And may we never grow weary of the goodness that you alone can bring. We do pray for Brother Troy. We pray for Mindy. Lord, we pray for Brother Troy at this particular time because he is so much a part of us. And Lord, I've known Troy for many, many years. And Lord, I pray that you will help my dear brother pass from this life into a peacefulness. Lord, I don't know how much longer he might have upon this earth, but this I do know, that you will guide and that you will take care of him. Help us, dear Father, to be faithful unto you. Lead us and bless, we pray thee, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There are many lessons that I can actually draw from this particular chapter, but I want to make this as simple as possible, mainly because we have that beautiful aroma that keeps wafting from the fellowship hall, making it very difficult to preach, and my stomach, you know, as the stomach churns. But anyway, we want us to understand the things that God has given. There's a great warning in what we just read. And I pray that we would understand the things that we see from the Word of God. Understand, David has passed on. Solomon in all of his glory is now passed on. And it now has laid down at the feet of Rehoboam to how much of a king he's going to be. And when we take a look at Rehoboam, we find that he is a man that is wanting all the glory for himself. I don't know how many of you have ever seen that kind of person in the past. where he stands up in leadership and literally it's what I want, what I want, what I want. You know, it's like we had many years ago, I had raised chickens, and I had one that, man, she would sit down and she would make these great big eggs. I mean, sometimes two yolks, sometimes three yolks, and every time that she would lay an egg, she would cry out, look what I did, look what I did. And, you know, the more that you see that, the more that you understand the power of that chicken. But more than that, I want us to get this. Rehoboam, in his own nature, in his own desires, had made up his mind that he wanted a glorious kingdom. Now, we understand that there was very little left to do because, literally, Solomon had made everything powerful. He had made everything at peace, if you will. There was no challenges on anyone, for that matter. But there is one thing that I want us to look at. We're going to kind of work backwards. In verse 15, it says, wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause God the people. So you had the 10 northern tribes that were going to move away from Jeroboam. This was the plan of God. And only 3 tribes, if you will, the Levites, the Benjamites, and the tribe of Judah were going to remain in the south. And so as you begin to see this particular move, if you will, there was a desire to follow after God. But Rehoboam had made up his mind that he was going to go after Israel. Now, I want you to get this. And even though this was a plan from God, there was nothing that Rehoboam wanted more than to keep the kingdom united. Let's go back now and see if I'm not right about this. The first thing that we see is that Jeroboam comes up from the land of Egypt. He had already been chased off because of the challenges that he had made against Solomon. And so because of those challenges, he had been driven off. You know, Solomon wanted him anywhere near him. And so Jeroboam went out and hid in that land of Egypt. But soon as word came that Solomon had passed on, they were getting ready to crown Rehoboam the king as Shechem, we find that in verse 2 that Jeroboam had made his way up. Look again at verse 2. And it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam. Now I want you to get this. Even the tribes of Israel were tired of all that they had to do. Now think about this. There was a joy and there was now a lack of joy. Why was there a lack of joy? Because God told the people not to be joyful anymore. They wanted a rest. And there's nothing wrong with this. You know, we understand that when people take a vacation, they're trying to recharge their batteries. They want to do something a little bit different. But the reality is that no matter how you look at it, life was going to have its own challenges. The reality is that when they came to Rehoboam, they said, you know, we have been oppressed. We have found the difficulty of Solomon and all that he demanded. Take a look at Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem was a gold city, if you will. It was literally, the temple was made, and you had the shields of gold that were brought out. I mean, every little piece of what we see was the beauty of what Jerusalem had become. And yet, when we take a look at the older age of Solomon, he forsook the things of God, and he went after the pagan idols of this world, mainly to appease his many wives. And because of his love of his many wives, they were able to pull one way and then pull another to where he built temples even unto the pagan idols. And the Lord God does not take this lightly. I mean, let's put it this way. We have allowed paganism in our own country at a remarkable rate. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but it used to be that this Bible was the only thing that all elected officials would be sworn in by. And so whenever you had a Bible that was there before them, they swore in saying, I will declare that I want to uphold the Constitution of the United States, so help me God. But nowadays, there has been such a hatred of the things of God that even elected officials will rather choose the Quran, or they will follow after the things of Superman, and they said, you know, that's just a comic book, because all they see is this as a book. They don't see the power of this book. They don't see the necessity of this book, and yet we have always declared ourselves a Christian nation. How can we say we are a Christian nation if we forsake the things of God? And the way that has occurred, we have allowed paganism to come in. How many of y'all remember when the Pope first made his journey into Washington, D.C. to meet with Ronald Reagan? How many of us remember that the fear that we had of JFK, because the fact is he was Roman Catholic? Most of us forget all about that, but that is etched in history. That is a responsibility that we have to declare. We are not Roman Catholic. We are not. Truthfully. Well, the reality is that we see Solomon has allowed this great man of God, who has built many wonderful things for God, he is now allowing wickedness to have its place in and around Jerusalem. And so it was detailed to God, by God to him, that he would not continue on, and before long, even that was going to be a destruction that was going to happen upon Israel, that there was going to be a great divide. And so that is one of the reasons that we see Rehoboam make up his mind to where he wants to bring more attention to himself. Now think about this. I wrote this down, and part of that was you have two men. Both of them sound very much alike. One is Rehoboam, one is Jeroboam. Rehoboam wanted God's protection, but he wanted all the glory. Jeroboam wanted all the glory and could care less about God's protection. Now think about it. Rehoboam wanted God's protection, but he wanted all the glory for himself. Jeroboam could care less about God's protection, and yet he still wanted all the glory for himself. How do I know that for certain? Because already we see in verse 3, once again, I want you to get this. And Jeroboam was saying, if I was king, this would never happen. He would sweep in, he would say, you know, if you are tired of being pressured and you're tired of all the hard things, then you really want me as your king. But he also knew something about Jeroboam, knowing that Jeroboam would be apt to not follow after the things of God, but to follow after his own wisdom and his own purpose. And so here you had these people that were now raised up by Jeroboam, who literally wanted to hear what Rehoboam had to say. And so Rehoboam said, okay, I'll tell you what, give me 3 days. Did you notice that in the passage that we just read, the first ones to come were the wise men, the older men, the men that had stood alongside Solomon. Now there's two groups of men that are being called upon. First of all, you have the older, wiser men that had been with Solomon, and that they said, look, we understand that you want to do glorious things, but make the Lord you know, your dad put a lot on us. Your dad put a lot on us. Now give us a little bit of a break and we will be yours forever. That did not meet with Rehoboam's determination. He did not want those things in his life. Instead, he forsook the counsel, according to verse 8, it says that he forsook the counsel of the old men, which had given him, and consulted with the young men. Now, I don't know how old Rehoboam was at this time, but when Rehoboam came to this place where he was going to be crowned, he sought after those roommates, those friends of his that came in. And I mean, they wanted a part of the glory too. They wanted everything that was there. You know, every time that you see a man not seeking after the things of God, one of the first things we find is mistakes. Esther's husband, which we now know as Ahasuerus, he had already caused so much drinking to occur that he said, send in Vashti and let her dance before me and the men so that people can literally talk about how beautiful she is. And when she refused, it was the council of the wise men that said, oh, you can't have this, or do the same thing to us. And so, you know, king, why don't you go out and find another woman? Well, when Ahasuerus had made his determination and he was angry at the wise men for their counsel, that's when they turned around and said, well, maybe you ought to go out and look for another woman. But also think about this. When we go back in and we take a look at the book of Joshua, we see that there was the tribes that had caused a great determination to occur. I want us to turn with me, if you will, and let's go to the book of Joshua. And let's go to chapter 22, and I want you to see this for a moment. In the book of Joshua, chapter 22, something happened that I want us to be very much aware of. In verse 29 of Joshua, chapter 22, we find that the 2.5 tribes have gone over and possessed their properties as promised to them by the Lord. But they wanted to rear up an edifice. They wanted to rear up an altar. And in verse 29, here was their answer. This was after they were about ready to go to war. I want everybody to understand it. They were about ready to go to war. And here's what they said. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar the Lord our God that is before this tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the priests of the congregation, the heads of the thousands of Israel, were with him, heard the words of the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. Why did it please them? Because they were not doing this for themselves. They were doing it as a reminder of the blessings that God had bestowed upon them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now, why do we see a difference between Rehoboam and this situation? Because already Rehoboam had it in his heart to create a trespass against the Lord. I'll show this to you in just a moment. Ye now have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the priests and the princes, returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad and from the land of Gilead and to the camp of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed. I always love that. What's the name of the altar? Ed. Not Mr. Ed, just Ed. But it was not meant for burnt offerings. It was not meant for meat offerings or anything else. It was just a reminder that God had brought mercy upon them, and that even though the waters of the Jordan had separated them, they were still going to follow after the things of God. For it shall be a witness between us, the Lord is God. Look at that. The Lord is God. Now, I bring this to our attention because Reuben did not seek after the wise men's counsel, but he followed after the foolishness of the young men's counsel. Which mainly said, you know, you think that Solomon was strong? You think Solomon really did well with you guys, or that he made your yoke heavy? Well, guess what? Than the loin, which means bigger around than the leg of Solomon. And that so infuriated that pretty soon Jeroboam looked around and said, hey! But there was a third group of people, there was a third person, I should say, that literally Rehoboam did not pay attention to. And that's found in verse 15 of 1 Kings chapter 12. Look what it says in verse 15. Whereunto the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was the Lord, that he might perform this saying which the Lord spake unto Ahai, the Solonite, the Shilonite, and Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance of the son of Jesse. See, Jesse, to your tents, O Israel. How see to thine own house, David? So Israel departed unto their own tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. The king Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and unto all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up with his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Look at verse 20. And all this came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again. And they sent unto him, unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed after the house of David and the tribe of Judah only. Then when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 144,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam the son of Solomon. And the word of God, this is the verse I want you to see. And the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and all to the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up. How many of us have ever sought the Lord for what he wants for us to do? That is, I mean, I have all these ideas that I think would be great ideas for this church, and I would not be wrong. But the reality is, if God is not in it, all of my efforts will be for naught. Now, whether it's a new web page, whether it's a video that we want to show, no matter where we are at, if we're not going to follow the things of God, we are in bad shape. How many of us really want to seek God's favor for this congregation? Now, think about it. I mean, here's one of the things that I told the church that when I was in California. I said, if you want to see growth in this church, are you ready to sacrifice us for no more? And they said, what do you mean, Brother Prater? I said, I want you to think about this for a moment. We have it very cozy amongst us right now. We don't want anyone else coming in and disrupting us, but we have a responsibility to teach them all things that are in Scripture. The right to vote, the right to lead, the right to make changes. And there's going to be some things that they're going to propose that we don't like. But let's be honest, that we don't like. But if God against us, and I remember what one young lady who had been with the church for the longest time, she made this statement to me. She said, I guess we just don't like it because we've been in charge for so long. That's scary, isn't it? And yet, if we want to see God's presence and his power, we have to seek his favor in all that we do. If we don't, we're going to be just like Nebuchadnezzar. Man, look what beast in the field. If I don't really respect the things of God, even though I can read the Word of God, I can study the Word of God, I can all for not. Now let us think about that for a moment. What is it that we seek when we are asking God to show us His mercy? Are we seeking after the counsel of the wise? There's nothing wrong with that. Are we seeking after the counsel of the youth? Nothing wrong with that. But if we don't seek the counsel of God, then there is wrong with following after the counsel of the old men and the young men. Because the fact is, first and foremost, we should seek after what God wants. I remember many years ago that I saw a sign, I underlined it. It says, when all else fails, try God. Isn't that wrong? And I thought, how much better it would be before all else fails, you better have God. You know, many times when we see these bulletin boards and these fancy statements, they're too slanted with the thoughts of men and not the thoughts of God. And I don't care what we do. You know, it was said many years ago of Stonewall Jackson when he said, aren't you afraid of killing some of the saints of God? He said, no. He said, let God sort them out. Now, in reality is, he understood that there was a time for him to live and there was a time to die. He took not for granted the things that were written in the book of Ecclesiastes, but he made them his own particular source. Reality is, I know we're living in a country that has forsaken God, but perchance, maybe just perchance, there is enough of a righteousness even in this house that we can go out and tell others of Christ and that they will want to come. I am of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you are too. You are too. And maybe you were the product of someone that had heard the message, maybe by a co-worker, maybe someone else. I can't give enough praise to that. But God saw fit to redeem you when he wanted to redeem you and not we ourselves. Reality is, I don't spend enough time telling others about the grace of God. And I want to tell all of our young people, what wonderful grace I have been a partaker of. Are we afraid that if we preach the Word of God that somebody is going to be saved that made a false profession years ago? We should never be afraid of that. Reality is if Christ is really real in me, I'm not going to be afraid of that. I want others to know what Christ has done for me, and that is why I have such a living testimony. Whether I am at work, whether I'm with you, whether I stand behind the pulpit, no matter where the circumstance means, that I have a legacy to continue by God's grace. And you know what? God can do great things. But let's make sure that we restore back to God the great things which he has done. We are all sinners, and we all deserve, you know, to bust hell wide open, let's be honest. But it is the grace of God that has redeemed us. It is the grace of God that keeps us. It is the grace of God that makes us see the things we are. More than anything, let's not be a part of a nation that wants to follow after ungodliness. Let's follow after godliness. I'm going to close this message with one final verse. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to go down to verse 14. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. And it says, now therefore fear the Lord. You know, one of the things that I find with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, they both forgot the fear of God. Whenever I think about Solomon, after all the glory that God had brought to his house, after all the different women that were brought to his bedchambers and everything, he still forgot God. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the God which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. In other words, don't allow the distractions that you want to serve. Let there be a greater testimony. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Okay. Now I'm going to ask this question of all of us. How many of us feel like it would be an evil thing to serve the Lord? Hopefully none of us. But if it does seem evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Who is it that you want to serve? Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, meaning Egypt, meaning the wilderness, meaning the pagan idols of the land, or in the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, maybe the little idols you found, but as for me and my house. You know, today's Father's Day. One of the great joys that I have was the testimony that I have been able to leave with my kids. Maybe it's not a perfect testimony. I know it's not. But the reality is I can still show them Christ in me. And that's what I want you all to see. Christ in me. But we will serve the one true God, the Lord. What about you? Father, again, I want to thank you for the blessings that you have allowed us to see from your word today. Help us, dear Father, to be faithful and guide us as we move on from this service. Help us, dear Father, to be in all truth and wisdom. And may we always ask your counsel for what we desire to do. Help us in our studies to seek you first. Help us, dear Father, to trust in you for all good things. And Lord, let us say what you want us to say. Let us have a ready answer, and let us be quiet where quietness is due. So guide us and keep us, Lord, we pray thee, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Greg, Sister Brenda, if you'll.